Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
A very good evening to you, Johan, and thank you so much for speaking to us. I had a conversation with Matete Tulare earlier on what other countries are expensive, but let's start with the US dollar and US bonds, how they reacted.
Good evening, Hiel. I think market reactions, including the equity market, probably relief that there's not going to be another January 6 event, mm-hmm. and probably happy that there's not going to be long drawn out court cases. So a relief from markets. The dollar's reaction also probably realizing that once Trump's policies will be implemented, that will mean higher inflation in the US, which means the Fed will perhaps not cut rates as much as we've been expecting up to now, and perhaps start raising interest rates again. And therefore, the dollar will strengthen rather than the base case scenario that the dollar might weaken in line with further easing of inflation and further significant rate cuts in the USA. So it's still a very fluid situation because the House of Representatives hasn't been decided yet. There's still around 35 seats outstanding in terms of results. It's still entirely possible that the Democrats could win the majority in the House of Representatives. And that would put a little bit of a break on Trump's policies. But we don't know, and markets, especially the equity market, once they pass this relief rally, perhaps starting to realize that, hang on, higher inflation means higher interest rates. I think markets might not continue to react the way it is. And even though Trump's policy is, he said he wants a weaker dollar, his policies will actually mean that the dollar will not weaken to that extent. And perhaps it can soften a little bit further before it starts strengthening again. It's still all up in the air. We don't know how quickly and how fast and how actionable these policies will be implemented.
And we'll come back to what a stronger dollar means for emerging market currencies and obviously interest rates cuts in general. But I want to start with these policies. So we spoke about interest rate cuts, but he argues that higher rates for longer will mean investors will get better returns on savings and investments. But You mentioned that the US dollar may not necessarily remain stronger for a long time. What are the factors that would also, you know, influence the Fed Reserve's decision? Because inflationary risks are something that they have been very pointed about in terms of their decisions.
Absolutely. So we've just started the rate cutting cycle in the US. I think there will be more rate cuts as the economy softens over the next few months. What we call a so-called soft landing. Now, a soft landing might include a shallow and short recession, but the Fed specifically said they want to protect the economy. And Jerome Powell's words were they want to protect the labor market. So they are going to continue to cut rates to make sure that the economy doesn't go into recession. And they can do so because inflation on an underlying basis, in other words, more the shorter term price trends in the US have eased quite significantly. Now, again, that is where we are now. And once Trump becomes president and once his policy starts to be implemented, yeah, then things might turn around. And so I think the dollar can drift, soften. Weaken is perhaps too strong a word, but it can soften a little bit over the next few months into next year until markets get more clarity around the timing and impact of Trump's policies. Because higher trade tariffs means not that China's paying for that, as Trump and his supporters think, but that the US consumer pays for that. So higher consumer prices means higher inflation. His very tough immigration policies will limit labor supply, which means higher wage and salaries, and which means higher inflation. And even his tax cuts would mean positive perhaps for the economy initially, deregulation positive for the economy initially, but tax cuts means a higher budget deficit, and that also puts upward pressure on interest rates. So overall, while markets have positively reacted this week, that might not necessarily continue, because what the federal government gives away from the fiscal side in terms of tax cuts, the Fed will take away in terms of interest rate increases to make sure that overall policy is balanced.
And this is where I'm wondering, and I'm sure a lot of South Africans are wondering about the MPC. The MPC has been rather considered in its decision on rate cuts, and even though it does watch what the US is doing, what would then a stronger rand mean for emerging market countries like South Africa?
A stronger rand would have helped ease the inflation picture even further. So inflation already below the midpoint of the target range, so already below 4.5%. The October inflation number, which is the one that the Reserve Bank will have available at their next MPC meeting later this month, will likely be 3%. So a strong rand would just keep inflation low, and that should mean lower interest rates as well. However, if we think a dollar is going to strengthen next year or not weaken as much as we thought before, the rand will likely not strengthen to the same extent. So I think the Reserve Bank, being very conservative and circumspect around these things, might be wanting to not cut rates as aggressively as would have been the case had Trump lost the election. But of course, there are factors that we should take into account, that the SA economy has got very little inflation pressure at the moment. The outlook has improved in terms of the political situation, less political risk, better growth is coming, so less fiscal risk. And these are all things that foreign investors are looking at and realizing that, you know, we're not the basket case that they thought we were, or that you and I thought we were a year ago. Things have been improving. So that will help us in a situation like this. But also, if you think about the big impact on the Chinese economy from significant tariff increases on their exports to the US, I think China is going to stimulate the economy quite significantly. There's a pre-planned meeting tomorrow in China where they're going to announce, were going to announce in any case, some policy measures. I'm thinking that even if it doesn't come tomorrow exactly, but over the next few months, there will be significant policy stimulation from the Chinese economy. It might mean significant more government spending on infrastructure projects. It might even include significant tax cuts to support consumers. So we are taking action. The Chinese authorities will be taking action to protect the economy. So I don't think it's the all fall down scenario that markets might think once Trump's policies are being implemented. But there's lots of fluidity around that, lots of uncertainty around when and how. And as I said, the House of Representatives might turn out to be democratically controlled. So there's lots of uncertainties out there still, which in turn might create lots of market volatility.
You know, one thing, actually, a good friend used to say that one thing you can guarantee is that two economists will argue, and I'd like to hear your point of view on this. There are some pundits who are saying just the last two terms we have seen in the White House, whether or even just the past 10 years, the U.S. market economy has been doing well, irrespective of which party was in the White House. I mean, the U.S. markets. But the economy itself, there are those who'd argue that this is exactly why you now have a Trump presidency, or as president-elect. So geopolitics, there are expectations that Trump will be better on certain issues, that he will pressure Ukraine to negotiate with Russia, that even though he's hawkish on China, he won't necessarily stand up for Taiwan. So this balance that we're looking at, there's been a lot of talk about the global order changing. We've seen Russia at BRICS talk about a need for a change in the global payment systems. All of these things, will they continue as they've been discussed, or does Trump entering the White House give a slight change of palette to these conversations?
I think you're right. There might be a slight change of color. Trump has shown in his first term that he's relatively unpredictable, though. I don't know if that necessarily will change, but it creates more volatility in terms of policy making. It creates more volatility in terms of geopolitics, and perhaps if Ukraine is, as you mentioned, perhaps forced to go into a deal with Russia and they're forced to give away some territory in terms of a peace deal, perhaps that's not a bad outcome for the rest of the world. And then there's lots of uncertainty in the Middle East. It's been pretty well contained because the oil prices really remained below $80 a barrel. Usually, if that flares up, the oil price goes quickly towards 100 and above dollars a barrel. So there's lots of uncertainty out there, but I think there's so much pressure on these flashpoints. The rest of the world doesn't want a Middle East war. The rest of the world, and including China, doesn't want a war between China and Taiwan. So there's significant pressure from elsewhere. But again, it's very difficult to determine
Predict,
exactly
yeah.
what Trump's impact will be. But as you said, it hasn't had a significant impact in terms of which party was in control. Usually, a Republican president with a Republican-controlled Congress is good for U.S. economy and U.S. markets because they tend to deregulate, step back, allow the private sector a bigger role. Trump is not the typical Republican that we were used to in the past, given the tariff issue that creates lots of uncertainty for economies and markets. So, yeah, I think there's going to be lots of uncertainty and lots of hand-wringing in foreign government headquarters over the next few years.
And a final question, Johan. We saw Bitcoin going up. I believe it reached an all-time high on news that Donald Trump will be marching into the White House. So his stance has always been somewhat different. He has been friendly towards the cryptocurrency. But tell us a little bit more about what do you think the crypto world can expect from Donald Trump, or is that just more rhetoric?
I think that's more rhetoric. I don't think there's anything serious, fundamental, or lasting in that for the crypto market specifically. I think those are also relief rallies, type things, knee-jerk reaction, and it's to me very similar to gold. Gold has been rising quite strongly recently around US rate cuts, around Middle East uncertainty, etc. But similar to crypto or gold, I believe very strongly those should be a very small proportion of a balanced investment portfolio. It shouldn't be the bulk of your investment portfolio. In a longer term, growth or risk assets, and by that I mean equities, should always be the bulk of an investment portfolio. You will have some of the others, gold and crypto specifically, very small components, even cash and government bonds far bigger than crypto or gold in a portfolio, in my opinion.
So basically, just look beyond the noise and invest as you would have before.
Absolutely. If you've got a great investment plan that you drew up with your financial advisor, stick to that plan. We've seen that through the COVID crisis and the global financial crisis, that you need to stick with your plan. If you've got a good plan, stick with it.
Thank you so much for speaking to us, Johan Aalst, Chief Economist at Old Mutual, just on the issue of cryptocurrency. Donald Trump had said during his campaign trail that he would fire Gary Gensler, who is really the U.S. regulator for the Securities and Exchange Commission. He's taken legal action against several crypto firms, which is why I was asking Johan about that, if there are any expected changes on that front. But nay, he says it's more rhetoric.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.